Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, friends, and welcome to a new episode of our radio show, Friends Forum. My name is John McCormick, and I am your host. Just as the talk show name suggests, this is an informal forum for friends to come together and discuss topics and or share random thoughts. Although I will suggest topics at times, everyone is welcome to suggest a topic as well. However, tonight's show will focus mainly on showcasing the talents of many friends. It should be a lot of fun. The show will be in a few segments over the next 90 minutes. There will be audio clips of three funny ladies' comedy routines, interviews, songs, and some surprises in addition to our discussion. I created this show so friends that may never get a chance to meet in person can at least talk to each other here. It's like the next best thing. We get to put a voice with a face. I just want to say how grateful I am for all my friends that I have met online through Facebook and other social networking sites, and I want to thank each one of you for being a friend. Well, it's now time to start the show via your computer. You have two options. You can choose to just listen to the show, or you can call in to join the live group discussion on the air. If you call in, you will hear the show through your phone. The listener dial-in number is 646-478-3380. That's 646-478-3380. Or if needed, you can call the toll-free number at 1-888-238-8575. That's 1-888-238-8575. So please call now to be connected. Thank you in advance for listening to the show and to anyone that may call in. Again, please call in now. Hello, everyone. Again, this is John McCormick, and I just want to thank all of you for listening and calling in. I am grateful, like I mentioned, for all my friends, and I do look forward to speaking with some of you tonight on the show. I do want to remind you, if you have called in to the show, you are live, so anything you say will be, we can hear it. If you have chosen to participate on the live discussion here online, which is wonderful, that's what I would prefer. But before we introduce our first callers, it looks like we have a few. I am going to play a song that seems appropriate for tonight, since the focus tonight is about people who have followed their dreams and have been successful with what they've wanted to do. And then we will be right back. This song is Kelly Clarkson's Breakaway.
What could be, and if I'd end up having
are back. And I just really like that song because, like I said, you know, tonight we're going to be talking to some very successful people that have chosen to break away and take a risk and take a chance in their dreams. And I'm really excited about that. Now, I do see we have a few callers on the line. Who is area code 260? Could you introduce yourself?
That would be me, John. This is Linda.
Linda, you're calling back again. Yay.
Yeah,
Linda's been
I got
on the
my
show a couple of times. Yeah.
Yes. Well, I got my voice back. So, I mean, I still not as got it back 100%, but yeah.
Oh, great. Well, we're glad to have you back. And, yeah,
thank
this is going to be a great show. So, I'm really looking forward to it. And who's area code 662? Well, I'm not sure who that
hey,
was.
Hey, John.
Oh, hi.
Is this
Julie?
This is Julie, but the 662 area code is probably my mother. She said she was going to call in, but that she didn't really want to talk on the air.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. I'm glad she's calling in. No problem, Mom. So we're glad to have her. I did want to just find out, you know, how are you guys, first of all, doing tonight? Have you had a great weekend?
Yeah, I guess I did. I was recovering from being sick. So I
oh,
guess
no.
I, being that I'm better, I guess I had a great week. So, yeah. And then my stepdaughter and them moved into their new home today, and we took a lot of the stuff that we were storing for them out to there. So, I guess it was pretty good. And
that's great.
Hi, Julie. Where are you from?
Linda, I'm actually from Mississippi, but I live in Kansas now. I live in Lawrence, Kansas now.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm originally from Kentucky, moved to Wisconsin, and now I live in Indiana. So,
okay.
Hi, it's nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you, too.
Well, we do have a few scheduled interviews tonight. Julie is going to be one of those interviews. I can't wait. And we're going to play a couple of audio clips of Julie performing as a comedian on stage. So you're doing her stand-up. Yeah, so it's going to be really exciting. I do have, like I said, a few other people that are scheduled to call in, so I just can't wait till they do that too. What I wanted to do is go ahead and let's just take a look here because I had someone scheduled to call in by now and they haven't called in yet. So, but he did tell me he was going to be busy. He's doing a show right now and he said that he would be possibly available between 7 and 7:15. So he may still call in here in a few minutes. He's going to be my first interview when he does. But if we see that he hasn't had a chance yet, we'll just reschedule that maybe for a little later in the show. Again, I just wanted to make it, just let everyone know what's going to happen tonight. We have three funny ladies that's going to be here to, we're going to be playing their audio clips of their comedy routines, and we're also going to interview two of them. So that, like I mentioned, Julie Brooks, she's one of our first interviews. And then after that will be Joey Savage. She's been performing for quite some time, and I did get a chance to see her in person and watch her perform, so I'm excited to talk to her tonight. And then we do have another lady who unfortunately won't be able to join us because she's in London, England. It's about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning there. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, so she's not going to be able to be on the show. I have a few friends in London that unfortunately won't be able to be on the show, probably unless I do reschedule the time, but I like this time. I think it's pretty good. We have a few other surprises and other friends that are very talented too. So I'm looking forward to, presenting their talents. I did want to go ahead and just say, you know, again, to anybody who wants to call in, because we want as many callers as possible, all you need to do is just call 646-478-3380. That's 646-478-3380. Or if needed, you can call the toll-free number at 1-888-238-8575. That's 1-888-238-8575. So please call in now to be connected.
You know what, Julie, I think what we should do is get this show started. I think my first guest is running behind because he had a show tonight. So we will just reschedule him a little bit later in the show. And but what I wanted to say is that, like I mentioned, we are going to play a couple of audio clips of Julie. And what I'd like to do, Julie, is do that first. I'd like to play the first audio clip. This is a show that Julie did this past Monday. She had about four clips of that show, audio clips and video clips too. And Julie, I know that this Monday was special for you, this performance. Can you tell us, before we play the first clip, why Monday was so important to you?
Well, actually, this past Monday, I performed in New Albany, Mississippi at the Coffee Addict. And I grew up in New Albany, Mississippi. That is where I spent the first 18 years, I guess, or so of my life before I moved off and went to college. And we actually, it's the first time I believe they've even had a stand-up comedy show in New Albany. And so it was important to me to get the people I grew up with, that I went to school with, family and friends, to come out and actually see that all stand-up comedy is not vulgar and that it can actually be entertaining for everyone of all ages.
Right, right. Well, that's great. And how did it go? How did you feel everything went on your trip there?
It was a great show. I think we had about 30 people. We would have had more had the weather not followed me from Kansas. It was snowy and icy here. And then we went to Mississippi, and then the ice followed me. So it was sort of icy and snowy there as well. Right.
Julie, have you ever heard of the Snickers Club up in Fort Wayne, Indiana?
I have not.
Okay, I was wondering because we have a, up in Fort Wayne here, we have a comedy club where we get stand-up comics from all over the country, and they are just really hilarious.
Well, here's what I want to do. I want to go ahead and play the first clip. This is, unfortunately, we don't have time to play all four clips. I believe it was like a 30-minute stand-up routine, right, Julie?
Yes, it was 30 minutes.
Right, right. So I think what we're going to do is play two of them tonight, and maybe what we can do is on another show, play the other two, or if you have anything new, which I'm sure you will, we'll play that too. But here is the first clip of Julie Brooks performing this past Monday, and I hope, and I know that you guys will enjoy it, and we will be right back with Julie to talk to her and start her complete interview. So here we go. This is Julie Brooks.
It was very long. I remember my very first open mic. I started writing comedy for a good friend of mine, Matt Buck. And I went to his very first show. It was October 20th, 2012. And it was in a little club. I can't even remember the name of the club, but it was in a little club in Liberty, Missouri. And so I drove over there with my husband and my two kids, and they went to some kind of junk place so they could entertain themselves while I was at this bar. And so while I was at the bar and he was with the kids, I had to sit and wait for 3 hours to do open mic. Now, if you can imagine sitting anywhere for 3 hours to do anything, you get a little anxious, a little nervous. And I had a skit that I planned out that I was going to do, but you're sitting there at this bar, and what's there to do at a bar other than drink? And I'm staying home alone, so I don't get out. I don't go to bars. I don't drink. And so I thought I'd drink a margarita. So I did. And about half a dozen later, it's my turn to get up on stage. And so I do. I get up there. I thought it would be no big deal. Just stand up, say a few jokes, get a few laughs, go home. And that is sort of how it happened. But my set that I had written, that was supposed to be about 10 minutes, was only about a minute and a half because I was tired, I was drunk, and I just wanted to go home and go to sleep. And the entire time, my phone kept going off. Your children are looking for you. What is taking so long? So I was told by a good friend of mine that that in order to be drunk and be funny, you have to practice being drunk and funny. And so I'm thinking, you know, how exactly would that work? I go to the grocery store. I go to the post office. I go to the DMV to renew my driver's license. So that's what I'll do. I'll practice at the DMV. That's the best place to practice, right?
No.
So I get in my car. I go down to the DMV to renew my driver's license. And as I'm being told, you have the right to remain silent, and being handcuffed and put into the car, I sit silently on the way back to the police station, and the officer turns around and says to me, "Ma'am, what were you thinking? Coming to the DMV drunk?" Well, see, I was told in order to be funny while I'm drunk, I had to practice being funny while I'm drunk, and so far, the only thing, I'm just getting really good at being drunk.
That was great, Julie. I really enjoyed that. And before we start the interview, I just wanted to acknowledge that we do have a call from Ohio, and I believe this might be Dustin. Is this Dustin?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, Dustin, great. Well, you know what? I want you to hold on. I'm going to be interviewing Julie Brooks. She's our first comedian that we played the first tape of her, and we're going to interview her, and then we're going to play another one, and then I'm going to talk to you. I want to interview you too, okay?
All righty.
All right. Well, hang in there. Now, Julie, you mentioned how you started first writing comedy for someone else, and then you started performing the comedy yourself. How did you make that transition? You know, what made you decide to do stand-up?
Well, actually, I did, like you said, I started writing comedy for someone else. I was staying at home, and I was just looking to make a little bit of extra money, and I found an ad on Craigslist for a writer, and so I responded, and it was Matt Buff. He is a comedian in Kansas City. I believe he actually lives in Olathe, Kansas, but he pretty much performs in Kansas City. And so I actually worked with him to develop a set, and then once we got an entire set, a 30-minute set worked up, he went and performed at a club in Liberty, Missouri. And that was my very first time to do open mic. And the show was supposed to start, I believe, at 7, but they didn't start until 8 because there wasn't a really big crowd. So I was already running an hour late. So I'm sitting in there, and I'm waiting for the show to start. And like I said on the clip, I waited 3 hours, and then I finally got to do my open mic. The actual show, the other three comedians went first, and then they had open mic. And the reason I decided to transition from writing to actually performing is because as a comedian, you get to call the shots. You get to decide what offers you take, where you're going to perform, how much money you're going to make. And if you're writing and the comedian you're writing for doesn't make any money, then you don't make any money. And so the reason I was getting into it was to make, you know, a little bit of extra money, and I wasn't really doing that, so I decided to go out on my own, and that is when I actually started my own comedy show here in Lawrence, Kansas. It ran for 5 weeks on the Thursday night, and now we're actually moving to Saturdays.
Oh, great.
Starting next week.
Yeah. Well, that's prime time, isn't it, on the weekends?
Well, it's going to be Saturday afternoons from what I understand. Everything's almost completely finalized, but pretty much it's going to be Saturday afternoons from 2 o'clock until 5 o'clock, which is good and bad. It gives the college students, because this is a college town, somewhere to go and something to do in the afternoon. Not everyone that goes to bars actually drinks, so some people might actually like to get out and, you know, go see some comedy on Saturday afternoon because maybe they're busy on Saturday night. So it's going to be an experience. It's definitely a new thing for here in Lawrence because the only thing they really have is a week monthly comedy show, which is really great. Ed Parker actually does a show at the Jackpot here in Lawrence, and that's a monthly show. They actually have it coming up on the 21st, which is next Monday.
Oh, awesome, awesome. Well, this is great, and I think you're right about that. I mean, a lot of the college students are going to go out on Saturday night, so, you know, in the afternoon, maybe they're having a late lunch or an early dinner before they go out, and then they're going to want to come and see some comedy. I think that's
right.
Awesome.
Right.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, now, you did describe yourself, you know, earlier, you know, as a clean comedy comedian, meaning, you know, it's clean comedy. And I believe not on this clip, but I know that on another clip of before, you do mention about being a Christian, too. So what is it like, you know, to sometimes be the only one that might be, you know, doing clean comedy, being a Christian? And then I know in some cases you mentioned sometimes you're the only female comic performing. So, you know, what is that like sometimes when that happens?
Well, you know, John, it is really hard. In the beginning, it was hard. It's not so hard now, but not the Christian part, but the being clean part is hard because you get so much flack from the other comedians who are not clean telling you, you know, well, you need to change the way that you do things because if you're going to do clean comedy, you're never going to get a job. You're never going to be able to do anything with it. But the truth is, clean comedy is where the money is at. They won't let you on TV without clean comedy, and you can perform anywhere. You can perform at children's birthday parties. You can perform at nursing homes. You can perform at bars. You can perform anywhere. And so you're not limited like you would be if you had a dirty mouth, which I didn't really want to be dirty because that's just not who I am. And, you know, I believe I should stay true to who I am.
That's great. That's awesome. And you're right about that. I mean, you wouldn't be able to go on Jay Leno or or anything like that if you didn't have the clean comedy. So I think that's awesome. And but now, how did you come up with the material, you know, for your you know, your stand-up?
That's probably the easiest question. My life is full of material. Everything that I write about and everything that I speak about on stage is all personal experience. Most of it's about relationships, my struggles with being married. I know that in-law jokes have been told over and over and over again, but these are specific to me jokes. And a lot of people enjoy knowing that, you know, they're not alone, that the comedian can relate to them. And at the end of the show, people know who I am, and that's something that I try to express. I want everyone to know who I am and where I'm coming from. You know, I think that's important.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I know that you said, you know, of course you perform in Lawrence, Kansas, but now do you, just recently performed out of town, do you ever go any other states or any other cities at all, like in your state or another state to perform usually, or do you stay mainly in Lawrence?
Well, I have performed in Leavenworth at a place called the Down Under Club, but that was my first time performing there. And it was not really a good experience because I'm not a smoker. And so they could smoke inside of this bar because it was a private club. And so I pretty much did my bit and then I left. So it wasn't what I had planned, but it was my very first show that I was actually on the schedule. I guess I was the scheduled comedian. I was actually the opener. And that is the most difficult job, to be the first comedian. Because, you know, you have to warm up the room, and if you're new, on top of warming up the room, it doesn't always go as you have planned.
Right. Okay, sure. Well, let me ask you now, I know people can find you on YouTube because I've seen, you know, a lot of your videos on there of your routines. But how are some other ways people can catch you? I mean, do you have, like, right now, any personal website or any other links that, you know, you maybe someone can go to find out more information about you and your comedy?
I do have a Weebly website at www.juliebrookscomedy.com. It's a Weebly website, but it's also sponsored through GoDaddy. So you go to the GoDaddy first, and then after you're on that site, you can click on certain links, and it takes you to the Weebly page. And there's only one link on there on the Weebly page because I'm not real good at updating my website. I should be, but I've gotten lazy. And most of the time, the main site that I do update is my YouTube channel. So people can follow me on Twitter as well at Brooks0326. That is my Twitter username. And then, of course, on Facebook, as Julie Brooks.
Awesome, awesome. Well, Julie, I know that you've called in a few times, and I really enjoyed tonight because we got to know a lot more, you know, about you and your career as a stand-up, and I think that's awesome. And I did want to play one more audio clip of last Monday's performance that Julie did, and then we'll be right back. So here is Julie again. Yay!
Yay.
Online dating is the new craze. It's the best thing going on for singles, and I think that online dating would work really well if you could purchase some type of software. Let's call it a Trojan software program that protected you from viruses. I think it would be really neat if you could do that. And so you're online, you're searching around, you're looking at the women if you're a guy, you're looking at the men if you're a girl. You see a program, you see a profile, sorry, that you think, wow, that person looks really neat. I'd like to check them out. So as you roll your mouse across their profile picture, you get an alert from your system that says, warning. The profile you're trying to view contains 522 unknown disorders. So you sit there and you think, huh, am I interested in this person? Really am I? And you start to click because you want to see how terrible this person could possibly be. You get another alert. Warning, the profile you're trying to view contains 97 viruses. Would you like to continue? And so you're like, wow, this isn't getting any better. I don't know, but I'm sitting here. It's Saturday night, and it's 7 o'clock, and everybody else is on a date. I think I need to do something. And so you're still sitting there trying to make your decision, and then all of a sudden, Sean Connery comes on and says, warning, are you still listening? Because I really don't like talking to an empty room, and it was almost like this Pandora-type message that you get when you're listening to the internet radio, because they don't like playing songs to an empty room. And so your computer just bursts into flames from all of the viruses and all of the things. And so now you're sitting at home. It's Saturday night. You have no date. You have no computer. You have nothing that you can possibly do. You know, one more thing that I'm going to leave you guys with. Since Valentine's Day is coming up, I know everybody that is single, married, everybody has to know what they need to do for Valentine's Day. And several years ago on Valentine's Day, I was spending Valentine's Day Eve with my boyfriend. And we were out at the mall, we were shopping, and we get back to his house, and he's got this little box for me. And he gets down on one knee and he says, Julie, I really love you. It's going to be Valentine's Day tomorrow. I really want you to be happy. And I have searched and searched and searched. And I think I found the one. And so I'm a girl. What am I going to think? He's found the one. He's found a wife. And what else could make a girl happier on Valentine's Day other than an engagement ring? So I take this little box, and I open it, and I look, and I'm like, And it was a very small pink iPod shuffle. Not an engagement ring. Not what I obviously have been searching for. And so he looks at me and he says, what's wrong with you? Did you really think that was going to be an engagement ring? I mean, we've been dating 2 weeks. You don't give a girl a small jewelry size box the day before Valentine's Day, no matter who you are and how long you've been dating. So I did what any good girlfriend would do. I go down to Best Buy. And I beg for the display box for the surround sound system. that he's been wanting, that he's been talking about. And I go back to my house and I wrap it up. Inside of it, it has a suitcase with all of his clothes that he has left at my apartment. And so Valentine's Day comes, I go to his house, I give him this big box, and he opens it up and he sees that it's a surround sound, the one that he's been wanting. And he hugs me and kisses me, oh, babe, you got it right, I'm so happy. And then he opens it, and he sees the suitcase. And then he unzips the suitcase, and he sees all of his clothes. And I say, ha, 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 I got you good, didn't I? I guess that shows how expectations can really change. Well, thank you, guys. I am going to get off the stage.
I love that, Julie. I can't
Again,
wait for the actually
right.
watch you perform in person. You know, hopefully maybe you can make it out here to California sometime.
Hopefully so. But, you know, both of those clips, true stories, completely 100% true.
Well, that makes it even better, you know. I think when you write comedy based on your own life, I mean, you really can fill in. And we all have funny things, you know, that's happened to us. So. Well, I just want to thank you so much, Julie, for sharing your story and everything tonight. And I did want to acknowledge that there are a couple more callers that have not introduced themselves just yet, if they want to introduce themselves. So I wanted to find out who is area code 913, if you want to introduce yourself. Okay. And then we have another caller that is 662. Who's calling in? Okay. See?
Hey,
yes? Who's this?
This is Improv, a.k.a. the Celebrity Impersonator. What's going on, man?
Hey, well, welcome. Yeah, we're having a good time. We're going to play some audio clips of some of my comedic friends, and we have some other interviews going on and fun stuff. So hang in there and welcome. And I did want to go ahead. We had an interview scheduled a little earlier today. On the show, he just finished with his show, so he's online right now, and that is Dustin. So how are you doing, Dustin?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm still actually at my show. It's still going as I'm speaking to you.
Oh, are you still performing, or are you done with your portion of it?
Match is already over.
Oh, okay. Well, I just wanted to let everybody know that Dustin is actually my nephew. This is Dustin McCormick. He's 25, and he's a very gifted and popular wrestler. And he has a good story, too, about following his dream and being successful at it, and that's why I invited him to come on. We do have several other people that has called in, so I'm just going to ask everyone, if I haven't talked to you just yet, to just hang in there, and we will introduce you. But I just wanted to ask you, Dustin, when did you exactly start wrestling?
It was the summer of 2005, I believe.
How old were you then?
I was 16, getting ready to turn 17.
Yeah, but before you turned 16, I remember you were wrestling earlier than that, but you had to wait till you got 16 to wrestle professionally. Is that true?
Yeah, previously, before I turned 16 and started doing the professional wrestling, we used to backyard wrestle, and I was about 12, 13 years old doing that. And
you know,
we would just gather up, just a couple of buddies, we just gather up, and a couple, you know, cousins would come over, and we just wrestle in the backyard, stack up cushions and mattresses, and just bounce off the garage set.
Well, now, you did eventually get a professional wrestling ring in your backyard. How did that happen? How did you get that ring?
This kind of dates back whenever we was backyard wrestling. Actually, we had a professional wrestler move in next door to me, which was kind of odd, you know, considering that we were in love with wrestling, and we watched it every, you know, Monday nights, every Thursday nights, and then we'd go out and, you know, wrestle in the backyard. Just so it happens that a wrestler would move in next door. Like, I don't know, like, what's the odds of that happening? It's just crazy. And, like, it's almost, like, too good to be true. So, eventually, you know, he moved in. He knew a buddy that was selling a ring, which was also a wrestler. And I let my grandma know, and she made things happen, and she bought the ring for, like, cheap, dirt cheap. And
that's awesome. That's awesome. Now, haven't you performed with this wrestler that moved in next door to you? Didn't you guys have, like a tag team, like the two of you against other people before?
Yeah, he actually helped train me, and he later on we became a tag team. We won tag team titles in Ohio, in Hamilton, Ohio, and we won tag team titles in Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm sorry.
No, that's awesome. Now, what made you decide to get into wrestling? I mean, why were you interested in it? Did you have, like, fans of it, or you know, just what exactly was your motivation to do that?
I school wrestled also, and I kind of dug that. I was into it, but then it wasn't the same as, like, when we were backyard wrestling, and I like to do, like, the, you know, the flips and stuff, like you see Rey Mysterio and all them high-flying guys do. I like the acrobatic thing side of wrestling more than just going out there and actually, you know, physically trying to, you know, pin somebody or physically
right.
try and win. I like to go out there and put on a show and give the fans what they wanted to see. And me being a little guy and being a fan of Rey Mysterio, I follow suit and I did the same things he did. I did flips and back flips or front flips and sideways flips. And I just like going out there and wowing the crowd.
Well, you do a great job at that, and I think you get that from me, by the way, because when I was younger, I used to, like, climb the trees and hang upside down and do flips and all kinds of stuff. You know, I was into gymnastics and all kinds of things like that. So I do have a friend here on Facebook. I don't believe he's online right now, but his name is Cal Kane, and he writes about superheroes. He's created a lot of characters, and you know, he'll describe in his stories, because I've read many of them, about
mm-hmm.
flips and jumps and stuff like that. And I keep thinking that if he ever made a movie of that, you would be like the person that could either play the character or at least be the stunt double doing it, because you're really good at it. So I think that's awesome. Now, is there a particular wrestler that's very famous that you think that you'd like to take on that maybe you could beat?
I would like to go one-on-one with Rey Mysterio. I don't know if I could actually beat him, even though we're the same size in stature. But, like, as far as weight goes, I'm pretty sure he's got me in weight. He's kind of bulked up. But I would love
right.
to go one-on-one with Rey Mysterio. That would be totally awesome.
Now, when you first started wrestling, you know, and performing and going on shows and doing all that, you know, you did used to have a character, and I believe you still go by the same name, Aaron Extreme, right?
Yeah, actually, I added more to it. I used my actual real name. I use Aaron McCormick, but, like, here tonight, I go by Aaron Extreme McCormick.
Okay, and then you, in the beginning, started wearing, you would wear a mask, so nobody ever knew what you looked like, and you had special outfits. Now, how did you get these outfits? You know, who designed them for you, or how did you get, you know, that character created?
It's kind of a funny story, because I started when I was 16, getting ready to turn 17, and I looked so young, and I still do. I still look pretty young for my age. I guess it's a good thing for when I get older, but they said I looked too young. I had a baby face. You know, I still don't really have a lot of facial hair. So they said, we'll put you under a mask and we'll, you know, something similar to Rey Mysterio, the whole, like, get up, the whole, like, you know, pants he wore, the mask he wore and everything. So, and I was little like Rey Mysterio. So all the kids liked that. And the thing is, though, my aunt, she actually, Aunt Liz, makes used to do all my gear for me, made all my outfits, made my masks, my kick pads, my pants, everything.
Right,
and
right.
Justin, you said you perform in Ohio?
Yeah, I actually perform everywhere. Like,
okay,
where
at in Ohio?
Tonight I'm in Lima, Ohio.
Oh, you know, because I live right outside Fort Wayne. You're not too far from me.
Yeah, I'm in Lima, Ohio tonight.
Oh, yeah, you're not very far.
Have you ever performed in Fort Wayne, Dustin?
I don't think I've been up that way yet, no.
Oh,
okay.
Okay. You'll have to let me know, John, if he ever comes this way. I would love to meet him, and I would come and watch.
Yeah, he's amazing. I mean, the flips that he does, I mean, he jumps like, I don't know, 20 feet, seems like, in the sky.
And oh, wow.
Can do corkscrew, jump, you know, where his body's moving around and lands on people. And I know, Dustin, that, you know, sometimes you have gotten really injured doing that.
Yeah.
What have been some of your major injuries?
I've broken my nose, my eye socket. I've dislocated my elbow, you know, the obvious bruises and you know, sore muscles and everything, but I'm probably be the dislocation of the elbow would be the worst one, just because of the way it dislocated. Like, even the doctor said that he didn't understand or even, like, see how it was possible for my arm to, like, the way it dislocated. And that was from me doing one of my corkscrew flips off the top rope. I just landed.
Watched you perform. It's amazing what you can do. Well, you know, I did want to mention that Dustin is actually engaged. And he has a fiance. She's also a female wrestler, too, and her name's Jamie. So how did that happen? Did you meet her during your wrestling?
Yeah, I actually met her through wrestling. We were both on a show together and started out being friends and then going to shows together, and then that just became into a relationship. And I guess I can thank wrestling, you know, for actually introducing me to my fiance. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that is cool. That's cool. Now, I know that you can be seen on YouTube performing, but do you have any website or any other links where someone can actually see you perform these amazing jumps and feats?
There is a website, but I think, I'm trying to think of what it's called.
Well, you do
have
one.
I can't remember the name of it.
Well, that's okay. I'll mention it on another show. But I did want to mention, though, that you do have a website that I have for you that I got for you as a gift, but you have not used that just yet. That is AaronExtreme.com, but we're still going to get that created in the future, right?
Yes, we are. We're absolutely going to get that done.
Okay. Well, just one more thing before we go with Dustin. I wanted to mention his mother, which is my sister, Kelly Newman. She actually started with that rink in the backyard with Dustin. She became a manager, and it was her mission to get many of the local kids involved in the wrestling and give them something to do, you know, to keep them from getting into trouble and things like that. And she did a great job with that, and the kids' school grades got improved because of it, and very proud of her. And she was actually on the TV news station. Now, didn't she win? Was she just presented on that show, Dustin, or was there a special reason or a special episode that they called where she got?
I'm trying to think. I think it was called Dedicated Housewives or something like that. And
oh, right. Yeah, that's it.
And
that
it, yeah, featured all the wrestling. And like you said, it was, you know, she got involved. She got the news there. The news came out, filmed us, filmed her, interviewed a couple of the wrestlers. And we kept the kids off the streets, to, you know, give them something positive to look forward to every week. And they were training in the backyard. And it was really organized. It wasn't nothing like, you know, crazy like how most of the backyard kids do, you know, they use light tubes and crazy stuff that they shouldn't really be doing, you know. We're trying to teach them the right way and be positive with it. And it, like you said, it brought their grades up and everything, you know. They're really positive, and it was a good time.
Well, you know, Dustin, I want to thank you and, you know, for your time tonight. And, you know, I'm going to give you a call soon. But if you'd like, and you can do it, please stick around. I know you're still at your show, so you probably have to get home or something, but but if you have time, continue to listen for the rest of the show, okay?
All righty.
All right. Well, thanks again, and have a good night.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
John?
Yes.
It's Joey Savage. How are you?
Joey, I was just getting ready to find out. I saw that we had a new caller, and Joey, you're right on time.
Yay.
Yay. Joey is our next comedian that we are going to talk to and interview and play a couple of audio clips. So I'm so glad that you are here. This is exciting. And now I did want to, just before we get started on the interview part, I did want to play the first audio, of Joey. Now, this one I just absolutely love. I know it's an older one, Joey, but it's called Well Balanced Teeth. And I swear, every time I listen to it, I laugh so many times.
Thank
you. I just watched it tonight again before the show. And but she performs it though without an audience, so you won't hear anybody in the background. It's just her talking, but it's really funny. So I want you guys to enjoy it, and then we'll be right
laugh
back
appropriately.
To talk to Joe. What's that?
And laugh in all the appropriate places, please.
There you go. Yes. And we'll be right back to, you know, to talk to Joey about her comedy and her book. She also is an author. She has a book out called The Vanilla People, and we're going to find out more about that. But first, here is the first audio of Joey. Like I mentioned, it's called Well Balanced Teeth. So here we go.
I'm trying to live a normal, balanced life. I'm having a little bit of a problem. Maybe it's a mental disorder. I'm not really sure. But see, normally I am brilliant, articulate, talented, gorgeous, and loved by millions around the world, and rightly so. This is what people see. But lately, I'm starting to feel a little bit of brain disorder in the ocean up here. Because this balance thing is getting out of balance. For instance, I get up in the morning to go brush my teeth, and I go into the bathroom, and I turn on the light with my right hand, and then turn it off, and then I turn it on again with my left hand, because that serves my balance. And then I go to the sink, and I have two sides on the sink, and I have it perfectly balanced. I have one toothbrush over here for my right hand, one toothbrush over here for my left hand, because, as you may have guessed, slightly OCD, I brush my teeth one to the right and one to the left. And this is not always going to work out, because sometimes out of the corner of my eye, I will see a little squirrel outside. And this kind of distracts me, because along with OCD, I also have ASD. And when I see the squirrel, I'm thinking, you know, this might not be a real squirrel. It might be one of those U.S. government squirrels that has a little secret microchip. And it's recording everything that it sees around my place of residence. So, it's kind of making my hands shake while I'm brushing my teeth to the right. And I kind of cut my lip, and now it's bleeding. And so I'm putting pressure on my lip, and I'm putting the toothbrushes down, and I'm picking up some washcloths and washing up all the blood, and putting pressure on with my right hand, and I can't do that because I'm right-handed. So I changed and I put pressure on with my left hand and clean up with my right hand, and that works out pretty good, except I have to get the antibiotic cream, because now I have a fat lip and it stings. And so I open up the cabinet, and now I have a cut on my forehead, and it's turning purple and blue, and I can't open the antibiotic cream because now I'm bleeding from my head, and I have to put pressure on that and clean up the mess with my right hand. And so finally I get it all together, and I'm washing up all the blood, and I am folding the washcloth and putting them in the little hamper, drying off the counter with my left hand, and I'm applying a Band-Aid to my forehead with my right hand, and then I notice that the squirrel is staring at me, and so I'm kind of working a little bit nervously, and I realize that I have not brushed my teeth to the left yet, so I pick up my left toothbrush and a brush to the left, and all the time I'm still looking at that squirrel, and I finish with my teeth, and then I'm about to wash my face, so I pick up the washcloth and start washing my face in a circular motion, kind of gingerly about the bruise, and then I pick up the soap with my right hand and as soon as I pick it up, it falls out of my grasp, and I have to bend over and pick it up off the floor. And while I'm doing that, I bump my toe really hard on the lower cabinet, and I'm kind of stumbling around, and the squirrel is moved closer. And while he's watching me, I am stumbling around backwards, and I'm falling on my butt. And while I am doing this, and it's not a big room, so it's like kind of not a casual falling on the behind. It's rather noisy and painful. And so while I am doing the falling, I'm also hitting my head on the sink, the pipe underneath, and so my hand flies up to touch that wound, and my ring comes off of my finger and lands in sink while the water is going to wash it down the drain. And so I have to rather gingerly pick up the soap with my right hand and get up and hold onto the counter with both hands, which would have been really good in the first place, but I didn't. And then I put the errant bar of soap back in its individual container and try to catch my ring, and just as it's going down the drain, and now my finger is stuck in the drain, and so I am pulling my, luckily, this hand is still soapy, and so I pull that out, and I still have the ring, and the squirrel and I are making some evil eye contact. And I finally get it free, and I have my ring. And so I fold everything, make sure everything is nice and clean, no blood anywhere, kind of bruised up. But all of a sudden, I'm balanced, and I'm able to flip off the little squirrel with my left hand, turn off the bathroom light with my right hand, leave the bathroom, minty fresh. And then, in the hallway, my friend said, "What the hell happened to you?" And I said, "Oh, nothing, I'm just brushing my teeth."
I love that, Joey. That is so funny.
Thank you. I haven't heard it in a long time myself.
Well, you know, Joey, before we get into the interview, because I have a lot of things I want to ask you and a lot of people want to know, I did want to acknowledge we do have another caller that has a San Francisco number, so I was wondering who's calling in.
Enzo.
Enzo, yay! So how was the parade? Did it go well, or is it still going on?
Still going on.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Keep going. I just wanted to let you know I was here. I've been checking in intermittently, but there's always other interviews going on. But I can come back whenever you want to. I'm listening to it online. I'm sorry.
Well,
I thought there was a way to talk to you while the other thing was recording.
Of course. Well, Enzo, I just wanted to ask you, would it be okay if we did go ahead and I could play a couple of audio clips of you tonight, you know, near the end of the show after I get done with the scheduled interviews?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Well, we are talking to Joey Savage right now, and you probably know her, you know, from the Manor, I think.
Hi.
Well, Joey, now, when did you start doing comedy?
I started mostly as a writer. I was a reporter for a small California newspaper in Willows. I did a humor column called Twisted Thoughts.
Oh, I like that.
It was fun. And then much later, actually just very recently, I started doing stand-up at a Christian comedy. I went to a conference, a Christian Comedy Association conference in 2009, did my first 3-minute open mic, and I was hooked on Christian comedy from then on.
Oh, great, great. Well, now what made you decide, I mean, like, to really get into comedy? I mean, I know that you mentioned how you got started, but, I mean, was there any, like, comedians or anything that you looked up to, or?
Oh, sure. All the greats. You know, every time someone on Facebook says, who's your favorite comedian, I probably list 150 of them.
Right. Well, what made you decide to do comedy, though?
I thought I would just give it a shot, you know, and if I liked it, I would continue. Because, you know, when you have a good sense of humor, people tell you, oh, you ought to get up on stage, you ought to go and make them laugh out there. And I have a famous cousin.
Oh, you do?
I do. Greg Proops is my cousin, and he's hilarious. You know
now,
who
he is? What does he do? Is he an actor or a comedian?
He's a comedian. He was with Whose Line Is It Anyway for a long time.
Oh, right, yes. I love that show. I love that show. Too bad it's not on the air anymore.
Yeah. He told me a long time ago, I said, I want to be a comedian like you are, Greg. And he said, I will bury you in this business.
Oh, no. But is he feeling like there's some competition or something?
Oh, there? No. He's just joking.
Well, I guess what I wanted to ask you again is what is your comedy usually about? I mean, how do you get your material and what do you usually write about?
Well, I have a very funny family. I do strange stories like the one we just heard. And
yes.
Growing up in my family is really difficult and strange and wonderful. And so that's my whole life. And I've been writing about it since I could pick up a crayon.
Wow. So this was a passion for you then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What's that, you know, Joey, that's what we were talking about earlier, is that before the show completely started, I played a song by Kelly Clarkson called Breakaway, because it is about taking risks and taking chances and following your dreams. And you know, and sometimes, you know, even though you might have to leave your past, there's something about your past you can take to the future, too. And it sounds like that's what you've done with your comedy. You know, you've taken your past and you've been successful with it.
Yep. A lot of people try to shake off that past. So I find that we can't get rid of it. So we have
right.
to take it with us.
Right, absolutely, absolutely. Well, I know whenever I write my comedy, I mean, I haven't performed anything yet, but I do have a routine, a stand-up routine that someday, like I told Julie, I will perform it, maybe, who knows. But I did want to mention, Joey, I think about you almost every day about something, and I'll tell you why. Because my favorite Starbucks is right at Clay and Battery here in San Francisco. And guess what? It's right across the street from the Punchline. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so every time I look over there, I think about, you know, that comedy club. Because I've been there a few times. I've had some other comedic friends that I watched perform there. And it's a great venue to present your talents, you know, your stand-up. So maybe one day when you come back to San Francisco, you'll be able to maybe check it out.
That would be great. I really loved going to the comedy club that I was at when I saw you.
Oh, I know, yes.
Brainwash.
Yes.
Oh, my God. What a great venue, your laundromat and comedy club. It's just amazing.
Yeah, it's great. And by the way, that's the next audio clip I'm going to play, is your routine at Brainwash. And what was awesome about it, Julie, is that I met her for the first time there, and she performed, and I had the privilege of sitting in the audience and watching her perform what I'm about to play. So it's really awesome. But now before we play that clip, that audio clip. I did want to ask you now, or because you are an author too, and you have a published book, The Vanilla People. Now, is that also, do you base that also about your family and your past too? Or what is that about exactly? Maybe you can tell everybody.
The Vanilla People is a collection of my columns that I wrote for the Willows Journal. And that's a really tiny newspaper near Chico.
Okay.
Yeah, there's stories about my Vanilla family. The name, The Vanilla People, comes from my dad taking us to 31 Flavors every week and forcing us to order vanilla because all other flavors are foreign and therefore evil.
Oh. Well, now, how can someone get a copy of your book?
The Vanilla People by Joy Savage is available at Amazon.com, either in paperback or as an ebook. It's also available at publishamerica.com. And there are links to it on my website, joeysavage.com.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, too, is what website or how can someone get more information? So I know that you're on YouTube because I've watched, like I said, your routines there, and I think that's awesome. And then you have your website. That's awesome. Okay, great. Now, I did want to ask, Joey, before we end the interview, is there any advice you can give to somebody? Because I know that Julie's been doing stand-up for a while, but she's, you know, there's a lot of people out there that, you know, that could be just new at it. So is there anything that you can give them as advice or what they can do?
You know, I think Ellen DeGeneres said it best in Finding Nemo, just keep swimming because... the more you put yourself out there, the more confident you feel, the better you feel about your own performance. What I'm listening to tonight is frightening because it was so long ago and so, like, I don't know. It kind of threw me for a second. But
well, I think it's awesome.
Keep trying.
Yeah. Well, that's great. That's good advice. And, Well, I was just wondering, Joey, did you have any questions for Joey as far as, you know, about the stand-up at all or anything that you wanted to say about that?
Crickets.
What's that?
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you.
Oh, no, I was just asking, did you have any questions for Joey? You know, she's been doing stand-up for a long time. You know, so was there any questions that you had for her or anything that you wanted to say?
Oh, is there a possibility you could make money in this?
Hello? Well, of course you can make money. I mean, if you get a paying gig, right? Let me just tell you guys a quick story. I used to work at a weight loss center, and we had a lady who was one of the consultants, and she also did comedy at night. And she traveled all over the place. And she actually performed at Punchline, like I mentioned earlier. And the great thing about it was she always got these paying gigs. And she would say, John, I'm supposed to work tomorrow, but I'm going to be sick, I believe. That's what she'd say. John, I'm going to be sick tomorrow. I won't be able to come to work. And I'm like, what do you mean you're going to be sick? How do you know you're going to be sick? I just know I'm going to be sick. And that was her way of letting me know that she can't come to work because she has a paying gig. And I was very supportive of her, you know. So, and then, of course, I would take over her column, you know, and I would make commission and everything. I didn't care, you know. I mean, I made money. So, but anyways, there is I just wanted to say, Joey, thank you so much for coming on tonight and telling us your story and everything. Yeah, it was awesome. And I can't wait to see you again. I know you've been back to San Francisco, but I wasn't able to go and see you. So whenever you're going to be here, let me know. And
I will.
I'll come. Yeah, that'd be great. I did want to mention there is one other female comedian that I'm going to play an audio clip of tonight. She unfortunately can't make it here because she is in London, England, and the time difference is really huge. I think it's like 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the morning right now. So she can't, she's unavailable for an interview at this time. I think what I may do is interview her time sometime and record it and do a recorded interview. So I think that would be awesome. So I would like to go ahead and play her comedy routine. Now I have to let you guys know she's a little bit more risque, you know. You know, she really gets involved in it. And then we'll be right back. But thank you again, Joey, so much.
Thank you, John.
And here's JoJo Georgie from London, England.
All right. So if you would please now whoop, cheer, scream, give a very warm welcome to wonderful JoJo Georgie. Hey, how you doing?
Great.
All right. Good night so far, right? I don't want to scare anybody, but I think I smell vegetarian. You're cute as a button. You know what we do with vegetarians in Texas? We hunt them for fun. We kind of have to. We killed everything else. And Mexicans shoot back. Thank God! Raise his audience! Yay! I did that job a couple weeks ago on the floor and started saying, you can't say that! Make it racist! I'm like, are you Mexican? Guys, now just shut the fuck up! I did that job once too, and a Mexican was in the audience. I go, would you shoot back a motherfucker? I shoot you, my grandma shoots you. I think it's easy, but I would shoot your motherfucking ass. Come shoot at me, bitch.
Hey, everybody. I just decided that I want to save JoJo's performance with another person called Crank Williams. They both have the same comedy. So I'm going to go ahead and stop that, and I'm going to go ahead and instead, Enzo called in earlier, and he did a great, interview about his one-man show, and I want to go ahead instead. I'd like to tell you a little bit more about Enzo. But I do have a surprise for you guys at the end. And what the surprise is that I'm actually going to play a song or two about that I wrote the lyrics to. So, and it was actually produced. So I hope you guys enjoy that. And but here's what I want to do is go ahead and let you know about Enzo. He called in earlier. I won't be able to interview him unless he calls back tonight. But he's in New Orleans, and the Mardi Gras parade is now in session there because it's Mardi Gras. However, he has been on the show before, and I'm sure he'll be on it again, maybe even next week. So Enzo has done stand-up, and he's a professional singer. He also wrote a one-man show titled Love, Humiliation, and Karaoke. It ran for 2 years. I actually got to see the show twice in San Francisco. He was awesome in it. It's kind of based, just like Joey said earlier, it's based a lot on her life and Julie too. It's based on real life events. Here is the first audio clip of his interview that he did on Outspoken TV. So here it is, and enjoy it.
Welcome back. We have a very interesting guest with us now. Enzo Lombard sounds like he's done very, very many things, and they're wrapped together in a show now that has an intriguing title, Love, Humiliation, and Karaoke. All right, let's jump in right there. What is the show about?
It is basically a bunch of monologues and a collection of stories from my life, and it's largely around how I was trying to create a gay marriage play for general consumption. And the reason I came up with Love, Humiliation, and Karaoke is because I was at the Mint here in San Francisco.
Our viewers know that, yeah.
And I remember thinking, everyone gets up there thinking they're going to have that Susan Boyle moment. We can say now. I never had a word for it before.
Funny, yeah.
Everyone thinks they're going to get that Susan Boyle moment. Most people don't. And yet they come back. And there's something kind of simultaneously beautiful and tragic about that. And I thought, so many of us try for love and we risk humiliation each time. And a lot of times we just wind up with humiliation. So I remember thinking,
how
love,
three words
humiliation.
Tie together.
Well, my mother was also the first karaoke hostess in America. And so there's a little bit of that in the background. So there's,
how do you mean the first?
She was the first white woman to embrace karaoke. Basically, she was too difficult to get musicians to work with her, and she realized that she could make a lot more money if she used these backing tracks from Japan with this word no one had heard of. But she started that back in the 80s, but then as it became more popular, she became more.
Now it's an industry in itself,
it's
right?
It's an industry, yes.
Have you been back to them since that experience?
Yes.
And giving them credit for that, I'm sure, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
All right, so you have a show coming up that you're going to launch here in San Francisco. It's the first time people will see it.
No, it's not. It ran for 6 months at the Stageworks, and then I was asked to New York City for the Midtown International Theater Festival in July, and so I needed to create an even shorter version of it that's more kind of concise and fast-moving to fit into the festival format. And so I decided I would do a few more shows here in San Francisco before I left.
With the tightened version of it.
With the tightened version of
okay,
it. Firm, tightened, and toned.
There's three more words. Right? Okay, great. So it sounds personal, but is it all comedy?
I would say it's definitely a lot funnier than most plays are. In fact, some of the theatrical audiences in their 40s and 50s, I feel like they might keel. It's definitely, the rhythm is almost as fast as stand-up, although it's not stand-up. I did a little bit of stand-up for 2 years to get that the formula
right.
of how to write that
And you
way.
Mentioned you'd done street performing at one time, too, so that's
yes.
a great place to learn. You know, they're not going to pay attention for long.
Pull it out of your, yeah.
Yeah, good. Well, excellent. Is there music involved?
Yes. I was a professional singer. That was pretty much my whole life, and I didn't like the distance of sort of I'm singing and you're watching, but I had seen, I lived above the theater that Sandra Bernhard did Without You, I'm Nothing when it was off-Broadway, and I thought, even though she's not the greatest singer, the something about the stories and the songs mixed together really moved me, and I thought, I'd totally do this. It took me 20 years to write it, but that's what I imagined.
Now, you started by saying you wanted to write a play about gay marriage. Why was that on your mind?
I'm married. I met a man when I was quite young that was in a monogamous relationship with a guy he'd met in high school in the middle of nowhere in California, and they'd lived in San Francisco. And I remembered thinking, wow, this challenges everything I thought I knew leading up to this point. Those people change what people believe is possible, and I think the whole theme of my show is how do you believe in something that you have no evidence to support, and I'm in a fantastic, I'm crazy about my husband. I've been married for 10 years, a little over 10 years, and everything in the world was stacked against us in terms of just the things you say, well, I'm never going to date somebody like this. Or we all have those lists.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I would say it's a comedy that also really hits people between the eyes about certain truths we have about intimacy. Mm-hmm. And they really go, even though it's written for a gay audience, definitely it's very relatable to people that aren't gay.
And it leaves you with a hopeful note, it sounds like. Good?
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you for being on the program.
Thank you
we
so
look
much.
Forward to seeing it. Thanks.
Well, thank you, everyone, for hearing this great interview with Enzo. And Enzo's on the line right now. So, Enzo, do you remember that interview at all?
It is. It's on Outside. So, I remember the. As soon as the cameras went off, I was like, just tell me if I look fat. I haven't. And you didn't speed that up because I'm talking 5 million miles an hour, but I didn't. I've never really watched it played after I taped it.
Well, you know, Enzo, for someone who's a performer, he doesn't like to get his picture taken, you know, because I have met him three times, two times during his show, and then he lives not just in New Orleans, but you also have a place here in San Francisco.
Yeah.
So he has all these favorite restaurants that he goes to, and they're my favorite restaurants just by coincidence. So we always, barely miss each other all the time, you know. And so one day I ran into him on the street And I said, Enzo, we got to get a picture. He's like, no, no, I don't do pictures. But one day,
I don't know what it's just. The camera is not kind anymore, and you know, and I don't know. I mean, I'm just not. I've always been really self-conscious about pictures, and actually, when I was promoting the show in New York, everybody said, "Oh, post something all the time," and I thought, I was like, I'm not taking pictures of myself because I hate, like, you know, 999 out of every 1,000 pictures of me taken. So I started taking pictures of food because I thought, well, you know, I can take a nice picture of food, and that sort of turned into its own thing.
It is. I love your pictures. Yeah.
Thank you. And people say I do it really well. It's just with my iPhone, and I really don't put any whatever into it. I mean, I tend to notice, like, when we're sitting somewhere, it's like it's fluorescent lighting. If we sit by the window, it looks better. And that certain things, like, I would take a picture of a burrito, and people would say that, like, looks disgusting. So I thought, okay, well, there's certain things you take pictures of and certain things that you don't. But, but anyway, tonight is Crew de Vue, which is the first parade in Mardi Gras, because you were asking me about that before.
Yes.
I've been tuned into pretty much most of the show, but we're literally, like, hanging masks and Mardi Gras lights and stuff like that. We're getting started a little late to get the house ready because I'm coming back to California on Tuesday. And
Oh, okay.
And we rent the house out as a vacation rental when we're not here.
That's prime time. That's prime time, yeah.
Yeah, and so we decorate it, and we were doing that, and so I just can't do that with the phone in my hand. So I had the show playing, and then I knew if my name came up, I could run and get on the phone and get to you then.
Well, no, that's awesome, and I'm so glad you did because, you know, you got online right when I was playing your interview. So that's perfect timing. So well, I did want to tell you, Enzo, too, I know that you have several songs also that you put out, you know, of you singing and, like, and one of them is Suddenly Seymour, you know, from The Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah.
And I absolutely love that song. So I want to play that tonight.
Okay.
Yeah, that's going to be the next thing that I'd like to play. But you know, you and I, we've spoken online here on the show before, and you've told us a little bit of information about your one-man show and so on. But just in case some people missed knowing the other part of the conversation that we had, is there anything else going on right now that you're working on?
One thing I didn't mention that I wish I would have, but I mean, Kevin Albell is the director of Love, Humiliation, Karaoke, and he's become hugely famous now.
Yes.
He has the Totally Biased show on FX produced by Chris Rock. And I'm super, super happy for him because he was a fantastic director, and he's straight, but so, so, so supportive of LGBT. He's super, super supportive of that kind of material.
Yeah.
He's developed so much. And what was your other question? Oh, I am actually doing a reading on Mardi Gras at the Garage in San Francisco, and I cannot remember the name of the series, but I'm on Facebook as Enzo Lombard, and if people want to friend me and ask me about it, I will probably start mentioning it in like a week or two. And it's actually going to be a reading from my next show, which moves between San Francisco and New Orleans, and it's sort of a sequel to LHK, to Love, Humiliation, and Karaoke, the first show. And it's the same.
Okay.
I mean, that's about the two people getting together. The next one starts 10 years later, and that first show was really about how we met, and then the sequel is really about taking over the care of my mother. My mother-in-law is severely disabled. She's had MS for 40 years since my husband was 7, and he's almost 50 now, so like 40-something years she's. And she's now, she can't see. She's been, you know, gradually deteriorating. But we.
The mom is funny. She is funny.
Yeah, her mouth works fine.
Yes.
She can't see. She can't press a button, but her mouth works fine.
And you're going to do a book about her or something, right? The
yes,
Mama Says
that,
or
yes,
something?
Yes, that's actually what the reading is going to be. The reading is going to be about, and that's why we started that's why we started living between the two cities now, is because she's in nursing care here, and we couldn't move her out to California. It just wasn't possible. So
we go back and forth
every month. And so that will be on February 12th is Mardi Gras. And that's going to be done in San Francisco, and the space is the garage. I cannot remember the name of the series, but I'll be posting about it pretty soon.
Cool. I hope I should be able to make it, so that would be great. I can't wait to see it.
It'll be fun to have some New Orleans material on Mardi Gras, even though it's in San Francisco.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. And then also, I don't think you mentioned it, but you do have your personal website, enzolombard.com, right?
Yes.
So,
yes.
And, of course, Enzo is on YouTube, so that's awesome. But
yes, youtube.com/EnzoSF, so like Enzo San Francisco. And
yeah,
then I'm all over Facebook. I mean, you can friend me. I mean, I'll probably be more in people's faces than they want, but there's lots of stuff going on there.
Well, Enzo, I want to thank you so much, for calling in and everything and talking with me. And I want to now play Enzo's song, Suddenly Seymour. I love this song. And didn't you say
this is
one of everyone's favorites, I believe? Yeah. So here it is, Suddenly Seymour.
Lift up your head, brush off your mascara. Here, take my Kleenex, wipe that lipstick away. Show me your face, clean as the morning. I know things were bad, but now they're okay. Suddenly Seymour is standing beside you. You don't need no makeup, don't have to pretend. Is here to provide you sweet understanding. Seymour's your
nobody
friend.
Ever treated me kindly. Daddy left early, Mama was poor. I'd meet a man and I'd follow him blindly. He'd snap his fingers me, I'd say sure. Suddenly Seymour is standing beside me. He don't give me orders, he don't condescend. Suddenly Seymour is here to provide me sweet understanding. Seymour's my friend.
Tell me the season will last till forever. Tell me the bad times are clean washed away. Please understand that it's still strange and frightening. With losers like I've been, it's all hard to say. Suddenly Seymour, he purified me.
Wasn't that awesome, guys? Julie?
I'm still here.
Oh, okay. Wasn't that awesome?
That was. It really was. I was on mute because I have kids and a husband and TV in the background.
I know. I love it. You know what? When you call in, I always know it's you because I hear the little baby. I love her. but I did want to just mention again about the reason I stopped JoJo Georgie's comedy routine was I just realized that I made a mistake that she and Crank and some other people that I know, that should be a special episode just about them because they have the same comedy, you know, and I think that would be more appropriate, and JoJo would understand that. So that's awesome that, you know, I know that she would. I did want to ask you guys, because I know that Joey's on the line still too. I was wondering, you know, would you guys like to hear a song that I wrote with the lyrics? I know we're going to run over 90 minutes, but is that okay with you?
It's fine with me.
All right. So this is a song I wrote. It's the first song I ever wrote. And I wrote the lyrics of it. And I worked with a very talented and gifted singer. And also he's a musician too. And we wrote this like 6 years ago, I think. So it was my very first song. I wrote it because I was going through a breakup. So I think we all can understand that. So here is the song. It's called The Way You Look at Me.
My life was full of dreams, happy endings I believe, chasing rainbows just for fun, making wishes in the sun. I thought my life was charmed, nothing could go wrong. What I conceived, I believe I could achieve. And when we met, the way you look at me, like you can't believe. You're here with me, and I can tell by the way. And the way you look at me, can this really be? I can hardly breathe. My dreams are coming true, and I'll always remember you. And the way you look at me, time changes everything. Challenges life will bring. Our hopes began to fade with the plans we made. We slowly, slowly grew apart, although we're in reach of each other's heart. I know you wish it could be when you first look at me. Then the clouds began to fall. I feel a healing in my heart. Sun's rays shining through. I'll always remember you. I can hardly breathe knowing I'm about to see. And the way you look at me, can this really be? I can hardly breathe. My dreams are coming true, and I'll always remember you and the way you look at me. I can hardly breathe knowing I'm about to see you. And the way you look at me, can this really be? I can hardly breathe. My dreams are coming true, and now
well, we are back, and I hope you guys like the song. You know, I have written over about 50 songs right now. You know, I'm not a Dolly Parton, you know, who has written like over 3,000 songs. But I love writing song lyrics. I wrote my first song when I was 19. This is not produced. The song I just played was the only one produced to start with. There is another song I have that I may play, but I just wanted to thank everybody for calling in tonight, and I think we had an awesome show. What do you think, Julie?
Definitely, best one so far.
Yeah, I loved it. I see that we have another caller on the line. If you want to introduce yourself, you can. If you just want to listen, that's fine, too. But I see that it's area code 602. Did you want to introduce yourself? That's okay. No problem. Well, I did want to just, you know, the reason why I played my song was because I was, you know, having so many talented friends calling in. I just felt like I should share something, too. But I do have another song I'm going to play that I wrote. It's my second song, and I want to play it only because I was really excited about it because I was submitting it in a songwriting contest on American Idol. Now, what that means is that they don't do it anymore on American Idol, but they every year they had where songwriters could make a song, produce it, send it in, and then eventually it would be voted on by the listeners. And then what would happen is that whoever got the most votes, the person that won American Idol would actually sing their song. So it was very motivating to do it. I didn't make it, but this song I'm going to play right now is called My Moment Has Come. I did want to mention that Jay Ruzio wrote the music, and he also sung the song. It does have a 70s feel to it, kind of like an older song, so someday I may get it produced with different music maybe, and another singer. But I do hope that you guys like it, and we'll be right back.
We've been together for so long. Tell me, I'll be this strong. Thank you.
Well, that was my American Idol submission. But you know, I like I said, we because you know Jay and I wrote that together. I wrote the lyrics, he wrote the music, and then he sung it. We didn't get an opportunity, unfortunately, to make it to the finals. But and then they stopped having that competition. I don't know why, but they did. But anyways, well, you know, I just wanted to say thank you for listening to my songs and all the talented people tonight. And I do want to say that we are out of time, unfortunately, but I especially want to thank my nephew, Dustin. I know that he, you know, really was happy to be on the show. And I want to thank Julie Brooks and Joey Savage for their interviews tonight. That was awesome. And also, I want to thank them both for allowing me to play audio tapes of their stand-up comedy routines. I think that was great. A lot of fun. And but just please join us next Saturday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for our next episode. But for now, I wish all of you a great night. This is John signing off. Goodbye for now, friends.
Goodbye, John.
Bye-bye.